Hello. I was just thinking about what we were going to say. I just feel so blessed to be studying the Word of God with Terry and Janelle here, and I just hope that you've been tuning in to this discussion and about the 10 minus in Luke 19, 11 through 27. And, you know, we've talked about the king's trust, his test, his reward, and now we're going to ask, how do we go about doing our ministry and being good stewards?
Well, you know, there are several things that we can do. But I want us to, before we look at those, we got to see the story. For those that haven't been listening, we've been doing the parable of the minas, and in this passage, Jesus is just trying to get them to understand the kingdom-mindedness, getting their minds on the things of God, and how they're to be stewards with what he gives. And so he knows that they're thinking that this is it. The kingdom's going to be now, but he's going away. And so he uses this parable to teach them a lesson. In Luke 19, he tells us, so a nobleman was traveling to a far country in order to receive the authority of him in kingship. And before he left, he gathered his 10 slaves, had them get together. He gave each of them 10 minas, and he told them, I want you to take care of the business until I come back. Well, while he was gone, there was a group of men that went to fight against him that were citizens so that he wouldn't become king. But he still did become king, and he returned. When he returned, the first slave came and said, you know, hey, the 10 minas earned 10 minas. And he's like, well done. You are over 10 cities. The second slave comes and says, you know, hey, 5 minas earned 5. And he's great. Then you're over 5 cities. Well, the last one, he comes and he says, you know, I just knew that you were a hard master, so I hid it away in a cloth and didn't do anything because you take what you reap what you haven't sown kind of thing. And the master's like, okay, well, if that's how you view me, then that's how you're going to be treated. And so why didn't you just put the money in the bank? You could have at least earned interest. And he looks at the other servants and he says, take his mina and give it to the one who has 10. And they're like, wait. He already has 10. And he's like, I want you to know that he who has much, more will be given to him. He who has little, it will be taken away. And he said, as for the ones that did not want me to rule, bring them here and kill them in front of me. May God honor the telling of his word. So it's all about stewardship. That's what we've been focusing in on. It's all about how we handle and take care of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus, how we are good with the talents, how we honor and are fruitful with what he has given us. And I was asked this week by my friend, and he said, so how do we do that? How are we to be missional minded? And it was a really good question the way he asked it, because it was obvious that his heart had caught there's a change that needs to occur. And I was listening to a sermon series in the C.S. Lewis Institute. I love going in on YouTube and listening to messages. And a professor named Joel Woodruff was doing a series on how to be on mission. And he said, the way that we are to be on mission is we have to recognize that, one, he's told us to go. Great commission. Matthew 28, he said, go make disciples of all nations. We all have a purpose. And he said, I don't know why churches and businesses work hard that are Christian organizations to write a mission statement. Jesus has already given it to us. It's Matthew 28, the Great Commission. But he said, the big problem in Christendom is that we don't view it as the Great Commission as much as we treat it as the Great Omission.
Mm.
And by omission, he means that you have sins of commission and you have sins of omission. A sin of omission is that it's something you know you're supposed to do, but you don't do. And it's like we just omit it. And here we have been given a purpose to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we will come up with mission statements doing a lot of other things that have nothing to do with that. You know, we can have our social agendas, we can have our political agendas, we can have our educational agendas, and get focused on those things instead of proclaiming Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The second thing he said we needed to understand is we have our parameters. And that goes into, our Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and spirit, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And what is that called? It's the Great Commandment. I completely went blank. So we have the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And in the Great Commandment, that's our parameters. It's to be done in love. Mm-hmm. And if it's not done in love, we're told in 1 Corinthians 13 that it's like a clanging cymbal. He's given us the action plan, how we're supposed to do it. It's the proclamation of his word. It's through the spoken of his word. And I know that one of the greatest dangers that we can have is we not trust the word of God. And we were just joking earlier that Janelle's really gifted with storytelling, that, she can easily tell a passage of scripture so easily. And I teach a course at Grace University on how to tell Bible passages in story form. And one of the things that we are constantly saying, and I'm constantly telling the students, is you have to trust the story. Mm-hmm. The story, if it's told, and it's told in its just in its form, the Bible passage in of itself will do what needs to be done. It doesn't require anything on my part. It just let the story do its thing. Trust God's word to do what God's word does. And the action plan, I think we have forgotten, is that the word doesn't return void. It is effective. It cuts to the heart. It speaks to people, and it will do what God has sent it to do. We just have to be faithful in proclaiming it. The fourth thing he gave was that we have to trust the promises that he's given. That so often we're not willing to do that. And which earlier we talked, I think it was the second week, on trusting the provision. And then the last one is that praying. And so I want us to have this picture in our mind. When Jesus is with the disciples and he looks at them and he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest because the workers are few. Pray for the workers. If we're praying for God to send the workers to the harvest, we will be faithful in proclaiming. We will be faithful in going. We'll be faithful in the love. We'll be faithful in the proclamation. We'll be faithful in trusting the promises. Because what we'll find is that he uses us to reach the harvest. So as we've gone through those and we're thinking of the parable of the minas, what does that speak into you? What needs to be done? How does that?
On these things that we just went over?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a lot.
I'm the one that doesn't want a story because of that just kind of hit me right in the heart.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. And you're so right. No, you're right. That's just something I struggle with.
I think everybody does, whether it's telling it in story form or quoting a passage of scripture or pulling out a biblical principle. The enemy will always be putting fear in front of us.
Mm-hmm. When I was little, my dad would always tell us Bible stories, and it was something that we always looked forward to. And as we got older, we'd ask him, tell us one we haven't heard before, and he'd begin to run out because we just went over so many. But I think that really increased my love for Bible stories as stories. And I don't know, just being able to pass that on to the next generation and to continue to share that with others. The biggest legacy you can leave on this earth is what you pour into your kids. And so that's a goal that I have, is to pass that on to younger generations.
That's so good.
That is good. You were very blessed to have a family.
Her parents were fun and creative. One day I was sitting in my office. This is just an aside note because it was so cute. I hear this beautiful guitar and singing happening in the office next door. And I'm like, it's so beautiful. I stopped what I was doing to go see. And it was Janelle's dad and Jessica. Jessica, her older sister, is our resident director. He was playing a song for her, I guess, that he had just written.
Mm-hmm. He writes a lot of songs.
And I was just like, I just want to sit on the couch with you and listen. But I couldn't interrupt the moment because it was so beautiful with father-daughter sitting there as she was listening to his song. It was beautiful. All right, so we know that he's given us all these. We've talked about that. What do you think it is that hinders us besides fear? I mean, what are some practical things that might be the reason why we're not?
I think a lot of things stem from fear. Our lack of confidence is because we're afraid of rejection.
Yep.
And
Yeah, that rejection word, that's pretty ugly. I felt rejected a lot this last year, and so it's just like, you know.
That makes it hard when we feel that.
Yep.
I know for me, it's a lack of prayer.
Mm. Oh, me too.
On the days that I feel I fail the most, it usually has to do with the fact that I've not prayed into it like I should. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest for the workers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just something about getting my heart right with God and praying changes the way I act. It changes the way I speak. It changes what I do.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the reason that we have so much problem with fear is because we know ourselves so well. We know our shortcomings and our failures, and we're like, I know I can't do this.
Right.
The problem is we don't know God well enough to know that though I can't do this, God can.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. Which is the next thing I had written down is the lack of expectation. Trusting God, and that was the third one, is the lack of trust. So for me, it was the lack of prayer, the lack of expectation of God, expecting God to show up, expecting God to be present, expecting God to do what God says he's going to do. And then the lack of trust that he will, or sometimes capable, I don't know.
But we even forget, you know, he's already shown up and showed us he's with us, that, you know, you can do this. And then the next time you go around, or I'm personally.
Right.
You know, it's just like, why do I go through that? Right. I shouldn't have to go I shouldn't go through that every time.
I know. It's crazy. That's crazy, crazy. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says that he's given us the Spirit to each person to produce what is beneficial. So, and every single person, just like in the parable of the minas, every single person, he has given to us that which is what will produce what is beneficial. Being in prayer and expecting God and trusting God to make that evident. That's huge.
That's huge.
And then in Ephesians 4:7, he says, the grace is given to each one according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. And so it's the Messiah's gift. It's the measure of his gift. It's not the measure of me. Right. It's not the measure of my ability, my knowledge, my wisdom, my experience. It is the measure of Christ's gift. And that's what I need to trust that he will use. And Dr. Schmidt, in his message, again, this was really awesome in that he shared when he and his wife, Lorraine, were in Niger, which he calls it Niger. Niger. Yeah. Which I'm always like, are these different places? I'm so confused. He shared about a man that he used to travel 3.5 hours in pure just dust to get to what would be just a grass hut, for him to pull out his spiral book, which had pictures, and then they would sit and tell stories of the Bible by looking at his picture book, because this man, that was his Bible. And he said, I could go in there with my mindset of, you know, I've got a doctorate. I read Greek. I read Hebrew. He has nothing to offer me. And he said, but he taught me so much. And, you know, he had so little. And it's that measure and trusting that measure in somebody and being open to letting God put in the moment what needs to be in the moment. And so I was thinking through this whole being mission-minded, being a steward of my minas, being focused on those around me. And just what does it look like if I'm sitting and I'm serving and I'm being a good steward of the people even that God's given me, and making sure that the conversations are edifying and glorifying? It just, this has been a profound lesson for me that I've been, he's met me a lot this week as I've prepared into this, the parable of the minas. I think the danger is that even though we are followers, we can be weak-minded and not believe him to be who he is. Mm-hmm. And the young man that didn't make anything, for anybody listening to this, the Holman New Testament commentary said that these were the people that just represented, you know, they weren't thinking through what was given to them. They took for granted and the complacency of it, and the danger of being in that. And then if we take, let's look at the next level of those that just said, we don't even want him to be ruler. Now we're confronted with that here in America on all levels now. And the whole Holman says that this group represented the worst of the religious leaders. Like the worst of the worst, okay? These are the ones that believed that you had to obey God at all costs, even to the smallest detail of the law, or God would be so angry that he'd throw the book of the law at them. And the natural outcome is that their legalistic religion removed God from their faith. It was no longer a faith in God. And that their system was more about the demands of obedience than it was about knowing God. So as we're thinking about our minus, are we putting our religious beliefs in it? And if we are, how are we being legalistic where we remove God from the situation? And we have to make sure that we're careful not to do that.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that what the religious leaders were teaching or were emphasizing that, you know, Jesus wasn't king or that he was hard and we didn't want him, that influences the way that the one who didn't turn a prophet thinks, and that influences his actions.
That's back to words influence.
Yeah,
that being a steward of what we
of good
say
words
with God's gospel, message of his son.
Let them see, you know, him in us, and even when we speak, let them hear it. That song. I love that song.
It's a good one. Well, we're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We're hoping that the parable of the minus has ministered to you the way it has us. We love to hear from you. You can contact us at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or opendoormission.org. And we just wanted to give a shout out to Charlotte Shelley because we've heard that she's listening. And so, Charlotte, we just wanted to say hi. God bless.